I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Father, we ask that the life of God will fill us today. Let your healing power breathe life and make us whole. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will saturate our souls. Override our mentality and our thinking and our own ideas. And let the life of God fill us now. Take control over our lives, over our hearts, over our thoughts, over our struggles, over the things that we wrestle with, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, dominate our lives in the name of Jesus. Let the life of God fill us. That we may be more and more like God in everything, Lord, and in every way. We thank you, Lord. We pray that you breathe life into your word today in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Clap your hands for the Lord. You should pray for the Holy Spirit often. Amen. And the Bible calls him the Spirit of Truth. And when you pray for the Spirit of Truth, you cannot easily be deceived. When you're full of the Spirit of Truth, you can't easily miss it. You can't easily be tricked. Do you see what I'm saying? You need the Holy Spirit for that too. Amen. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of mind. Actually, Isaiah chapter 3, let me just share that with you for just a moment before I get into today's message. Hallelujah. The book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Hallelujah. Then it says, the Spirit of wisdom. Hallelujah. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Verse 3 is my favorite, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the effect of the Holy Spirit or the anointing on a person. Amen. Amen. And you can see that much of the effect of the Holy Spirit on a person has to do with the mind, your thinking. Hallelujah. And everybody's life really cannot go beyond the quality of his thinking. Do you see what I'm saying? You cannot live a life that is higher than your thinking. Do you see what I'm saying? Everybody's thinking you know, and the way your mind works, the way you see things, the way you understand things, for everybody, it becomes the cap and the ceiling for your life. Hallelujah. So it is important for us to have the Holy Spirit. Do you see? And to be full of Him. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, He shall make him of quick understanding. In the Holy Spirit makes people smart. Amen. The Holy Spirit makes people smart. They just get things like that. Yeah, they understand it. They can see it, and they can see it. And sometimes when you're dealing with an anointed person, he may even sound impatient. It's like, he didn't even listen to me, and he just started talking. But you won't believe that actually he can see him where you're going with what you're saying because of the speed of understanding. Are you getting it? And the speed of understanding is produced by a combination of effects of the Holy Spirit, which you see in verse 2. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Then it says, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding is on the person. Do you get it? Then the Spirit of counsel. Counsel is advice. Is the wisdom activated or deployed. Can you see it? Yeah. And then the Spirit of might, which has to do with ability. Do you see? And then the Spirit of knowledge. Knowledge is knowledge, to know things. Do you see? 1 John 2:20, the Bible says that we have an unction. 1 John 2:20, look at this verse. 1 John chapter 2, verse says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. Can you see that? And ye know all things. Wow. Yeah. You see, it says, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know things. Yeah. You know things. So people who are anointed know things. Yes. You wonder, how did he know? He says, he shall not judge by, the other verse we're reading, he says that he shall not judge by what? The hearing of the ear or the seeing of his eye. That is why you can't easily deceive or trick an anointed person, because he's not working by what you're saying. Okay. Are you getting the picture? Yeah, that's why some people are also surprised that in spite of their posing, they are caught. Do you see? That in spite of their deceptive appearance, somebody can see what they are up to and what they are trying to do and where this leads. I mean, many times when I'm dealing with people, I see that a lot. I see that the Holy Spirit helps me to understand the person much more than the person thinks I do. Do you see? Yeah, and I feel like if the person knew what is in my mind, they won't be saying what they are saying. Do you see the thing? Yes. See, in the Bible, Acts chapter 5, I told you this is just a bonus part of the sermon. Acts chapter 5. We read the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Do you see? This is a married couple that is pretending in the church. You see, they are pretending because, see, there was a season where people were, look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 in the last verse. Acts chapter 4 and verse, the last verse of Acts chapter 4. Well, the one before this. It says, and the other one before that. One before this. Okay. And the one before this one. Okay. This is good. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon the whole church. Then verse next one. Yes. neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Can you see? And laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he has need. So can you see the context? Do you see what is happening in the church? They are in a season of giving. And the Bible says it's grace. A great grace had come upon the church such that people were selling houses, lands, and properties, and so on, and bringing them to the church and just distributing them among the people. So there wasn't anyone who lacked anything. Can you see that? Right? And so there was a general atmosphere of giving and flowing and so on. You see, then you see some con men, you see, trying to mix and to interfere with something that the Holy Spirit is doing. So look at the next verse. The next verse. He says, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, and being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, he was having land and he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Okay, next one. Chapter 5 and verse 1. A certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife, they sold a possession, do you see, and they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. Do you get it? So you have to be careful. When you are a wife, you must not necessarily join the evils of your husband. Does it make sense? Yeah, it's just. I mean, is it not interesting how the Lord, or the at least the Word of God, you know, carefully makes a note that the wife was also part of it. Means that the wife didn't have to be a part of it. She was just too married. Do you see the thing? Yeah. And he brought a certain part. Look at it. He brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So, you see, he's trying to do what everybody else is doing, but there's some deceit mixed into it.
Right.
You see, he's posing and pretending that what everyone is doing is what I'm also doing, which is that people sold their things and they brought everything. And then they also went to sell something and they kept back part and they brought it and presented it like this was everything. Verse 3 says, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Do you see that the lie that Ananias was telling was not to Peter? It was to what was on Peter. And that was the Holy Ghost. Do you see? And kept back part of the price of the land. And then verse 4. Verse 4 says, whilst it remained. This is Peter. He says, whilst it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Do you see? So why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Do you see? Then the unfortunate verse follows, verse 5. But Ananias, hearing these things, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. He just died. So even lying to the Holy Ghost and the way you handle yourself around anointed people, you know, explains also premature death. What do you think? Because this is a man, it doesn't look like he was planning to die today. He was going to church. Says, great fear came on all of them that heard these things. Can you see that? Now verse 6 says, And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. Then verse 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. This wife came to church 3 hours after. 3 hours. Hey. So 3 hours after, then the wife comes, not knowing what was done. So she comes in. And then verse 8 says, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, so much. See, even the fact that she was asked the separate question, that question, sometimes the question you are asked by the anointed person is your mercy. You see, the question is your mercy. Yeah. Even when people go to court and so on, they are given the chance to enter a plea. That is actually your mercy. And when you plead guilty, then they start to lower the sentence and everything changes. Now, when you push the burden of proving your guilt on them and they work hard to prove it, then usually... So she said, yeah, so much. Then verse 9. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry you out. Verse 10. And she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by the husband. Verse 11. And great fear, of course, came upon all the church, as many as heard these things. What a sad day in church. But that is because people were taken for granted the Holy Spirit and his effect on the anointed. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So I want us to respect the Holy Spirit. That's why you need to pray for the Holy Spirit. Because Peter was not there. But the Holy Spirit told him, these people are lying. They are not telling the truth. They are pretending. And you see, how are you even going to question somebody's free will offering that he's bringing to the Lord? Because this is a church. And the people are bringing their own offerings. And somebody has been gracious enough to sell his property and to bring part to the church. Do you understand? But it looks like what the Lord is looking for is the honesty. If it's a part, don't join the line for those who are bringing everything. Yeah. And you see some people sometimes in church, they come to the front. We say tithe. Then they come to the church and they have an envelope. You know what's in the envelope. It's not a tithe. Why do you want to curse yourself by bringing... You see, you're doing a good thing. I tell you, not many people even think about God when they have something in their hands. It's true. Not many people think about God and think about the church and think about God's work. So even for you to have something and then to give something to the Lord, it's a blessing. But let it be what it is. It's an offering. It's not a tithe. But what it is that people understand that before you can enter an offering, you need to pay your tithe. So people try to pay their tithe or to try to upgrade their offering into the tithe. Because the tithe, the Bible says, is the Lord's. That's not yours. So you can't begin to give someone a gift when you owe the person. Isn't it? Mega, can you imagine that I borrowed some money from you? I would never borrow money from you in Jesus' name. Can you imagine that someone borrows someone, not me, someone, Someone borrows money from you, $1,000. It's been 6 months, he hasn't paid, and it's your birthday, and he gives you a gift of $200. But how many agree that to receive a gift of $200 on your birthday is a decent, it's a nice gift, isn't it? So who? Ah, yeah, it's Joel's birthday today. He would like a gift of $200. So it's a great gift to have $200. But you see, when you owe someone $1,000, you haven't paid that. I think you would prefer that you just pay your $1,000. Don't give me a birthday present. Yeah, don't give me a birthday present. Just give me my $1,000 and I'll be okay. And that's what people do. So because they don't want to pay the tithe, then they find a way of tricking God. And they put something in an envelope and they just come and stand there and say, Lord, Jesus. Whew. You see, so the pastor, he doesn't know what's in the envelope. But the Lord knows what is in the envelope. Do you see? And there is no need for you to curse or bring yourself into a curse. I mean, all this happened in church. Can you imagine that someone is dying because of something that didn't go right in church? What do you think? Hallelujah. So pray for the Holy Spirit. Always pray for the Holy Spirit in these days of deception. You need to pray for the Holy Spirit. If you're single, for example, you need to pray for the Holy Spirit. Yeah? How are you even going to know who is right? What their motives are? What they're trying to get? And how far they're going? Because sometimes the motives are right, but it's just not going to go far. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? How far are they going to go? What's going to make them stop and leave you in the middle of the road? At a great cost and inconvenience to your life. You know, sometimes it's better that he didn't give you a ride than that he gave you a ride and left you on the freeway. What do you think? You should have been left back at the bus stop. Would have been better because you stood a chance of catching another bus than to get on the bus that broke down in the middle of the freeway where there is no bus stop, where sometimes the journey back is as long as the journey forward. You are confused. And that's what happens to a lot of people. Their lives are left at the place of confusion. You are confused from where you are. It's so difficult for you to go forward, and you can't go back also. Because of this person, if you knew that they wouldn't go all the way, you wouldn't even have started with them. Is it true or not? Yeah. Bonus exhortations. So pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for what? The Holy Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit all the time. Never get tired. You see, notice the Holy Spirit, you can't have too much of him. Like, that's why the Holy Spirit used terms like being filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you see? So you can have the Holy Spirit, but in measures. So you can never have too much of the Holy Spirit. You need to ask. You pray. And whenever you're praying for the Holy Spirit, this is what you're praying for. Where? Bring it back. Isaiah 11 again. Isaiah 11. This is what you're praying for. It says, and what? The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. If ever you would be described as someone upon whom the Spirit of the Lord is resting, then this is what it would mean. That the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. Do you see? Yes, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. That refers to your attitude towards God, the way you look at God. So you see that out of seven things that are mentioned there, six of them have to do with how your mind is working. Do you see? Yeah. Six of them have to do with your wisdom, your understanding, your counsel, your knowledge, and your fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. So I believe that's going to be your story from now on. As the Holy Spirit comes upon you, as you become more and more anointed, as you become more and more what? Anointed. Hallelujah. As you keep. So when we are singing a song like, "Oh Lord, I hunger for more," I mean, you shouldn't sit there like, what are they saying? Because some people just have a habit, they just don't do songs in church. Yeah. They just don't sing. Even, I mean, but how do we, nobody is born knowing songs. We all learn how to sing songs. Yeah. One of my brothers, when he used to be an unbeliever, he used to write down the words of all of Bob Marley's songs. Yes. His two favorite artists were Bob Marley and Peter Tosh. Yeah. And he would write down the words of the song. He would put the tape recorder down and play it, and then he would write down the songs. And he would go over them, chase them crazy. Chase them crazy, something out of the town, something. And you'll be looking at the words like that, reading, learning the words of the song. So if you make an effort to learn the words and lyrics of songs that are many times pointless, then why don't you learn the lyrics of songs that are a prayer? Do you understand? Like this one says, "Oh Lord, I hunger for more of you." Then he says, "Rise up within me and let me know your truth. Oh Holy Spirit, saturate my soul. Saturate my soul. Saturate my soul." Your soul is your feeling part. You get it? Your will, your mind, your intellect. Those areas that interact with people. That's your soul. Your emotions. The Holy Spirit. Saturate my soul. So that I can have more Holy Spirit than feelings. My personal feelings. Yeah. Because as for our personal feelings, we all know how they are. Yeah. Always going the wrong direction. Yeah. You can't trust your feelings. Do you get it? So you want to be so full of the Holy Spirit that when you have to choose between things, you can at least be able to suppress your feelings and let the Holy Spirit dominate the situation. What do you think? Yeah. There used to be a song, I don't know, I mean, an old song. It says, "More of you and less of me, Lord, I pray that there might be more of you and less of me." Very nice song, isn't it? Yeah, you should be eager. So what are those words again? Because if it sounds like something you'd like to say to the Lord, you should be saying, "More of you and less of me. Lord, I pray that there might be more of you and less of me. More of you and less of me. Lord, How many would like to see in your relationship with the Lord that there would be more of the Lord than you? How many would like it that way? Yes. Because you know, you spoil everything. Isn't it? Yeah, you ruin everything. It's just a thing about you. If anything that's working, you just enter and you spoil it. Do you see? Yeah, there are some people, they can't come to a state of rest unless they've destroyed everything. Destroy relationship, destroy atmospheres, destroy connections, destroy jobs. You know, some people are fired from work because of that. Yeah. Just that when someone is fired, they never really tell you. Even if they did, you won't know. You won't know what the real circumstances are. But there are some people, they are really obnoxious. They create a very negative environment. They fight. They are contentious. Their first approach to everything is a fight. Do you see what? Even all their questions are confrontational. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, when your name is supervisor or boss or anything that has some power attached to it, you get, or husband. Yes. When your name or title is any of these things, you don't, one of the things you don't like is challenge and confrontation. You don't like that. When you are the one supposed to be hiring people here, you are the one supposed to be making people's schedules, you don't want someone rising up all the time and fighting and fighting. I mean, even they want to ask the question, why are they working in the afternoon, is a problem. Yeah, and if the person has the power to boot you off, of course they'll push that button. Bring in somebody who is more humble, more accepting, and more flowing. More flowing. It's a key. It's a blessing for somebody here. Yeah, the Lord is speaking to you. You are too stiff. Yes. And it's already cost you so much. And until you recognize it and become humble, you will find out at the end of the day that it hasn't been worth being like that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Listen, if you were placed in a place of authority, you wouldn't like someone challenging you, isn't it? Even if you were just the parking lot attendant and you told someone, park your car here, and he chooses to put it, I mean, you wouldn't like that. You would walk up to his window and say, bring the window down. Excuse me, put your car here. Yeah. Yes. Now all you are doing is just arranging cars. Yeah. Which is not, it may not be so different from a little child arranging toys on the ground. But the thing is that's your job. That's what you are doing. Yeah, and you expect people to respect it. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, I want more of Jesus. I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want more of the Holy Spirit and less of me. Can I have an amen? Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Now, today, what I wanted to share with you, which I will start, just share one or two points and then I'll continue next week. Is that okay? All right. I want to share with you because we're coming into a season of honor your prophet. Hallelujah. We're in the honor your prophet season. And so I want to share with you about honor. Amen. And Bishop has this new book out, and I want to encourage all of you to get it. It's called Those Who Honor. Those Who Honor. And there's an e-version on what do you call it? Amazon. So you can get it. Amen. Right. But honor relationships, number one. Honor relationships. Now, the scripture says in Romans 13 and verse 7, render to all their dues. render to all their dues. That means tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Can you see that? Render, therefore, to all their dues. Okay? Then it says, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Amen. So, God expects us to give to everyone their due. What is due them? Hallelujah. And so he says, if we must pay tribute to someone, then we must pay tribute to them. If we must pay taxes to people, they deserve the taxes we must pay to them. Do you understand? Then custom, to whom custom is due. And then fear, to whom fear, and honor, to whom honor. So honor is one of the things that is due people and which we must be careful to give. Amen. Now, honor is critical in certain relationships. Okay? And we just need to see which of the relationships or which relationships require honor and which we must be careful to make sure there is honor applied to them. Amen. Number one is honor the Father, and it will give life to your relationship with your Heavenly Father. So honor the Father, and it will give life to your relationship with your Heavenly Father. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. 1 Samuel, the book of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. It says, wherefore the Lord All right, let me go to verse 26. And the child Samuel grew and was in favor both with the Lord and with men. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Verse 29, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Can you see that? Now, the background to this is, if you jump back to verse 22, it says, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all these people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear ye make of the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not to the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. And so the child some more grew on and so on and so forth. Now, so down the line, a man of God came to speak to Eli and told him that you are honoring your children more than God. Do you get it? Because what Eli should have done was to take some serious action and throw those boys out of the church. Do you get it? But instead, he was like talking to them and trying to reason with them and say, it's not good, you know, it's not good, it's not good. You know, sometimes you need to yell and shout at people instead of trying to be polite and nice all the time. There is a difference between a parent and a friend. Do you see what I'm saying? And many parents make the mistake of becoming their child's friend instead of being their parent. Many of you don't have children, so this is for the future. You're just right. In 3 weeks. Is it 3 weeks? 2 months. Yeah. So you'll be needing this soon. Amen. And when you're a child and also you are corrected by your parents, you shouldn't be shocked and rebellious because you are used to them being nice to you. Do you get it? Because someone must parent you. Do you get it? So when your parent jumps into the seat of a friend, then you are now missing a parent. Now, a friend is much easier to find than a parent. So if you have to make a choice between missing a parent and missing a friend, then choose the parent. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So anyway, that's what this guy was doing. And then occurs the verse 30. It says, but the Lord God of Israel saith, indeed, that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. For now, all right. It says, and yes, wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of my father should walk before me forever. But now saith the Lord, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Can you see that? So here, we are seeing the reason why even relationships change. You get it? God is saying, I said before that you and your family are going to be special before me all the time. But now, let that be far from me. Do you get it? And the reason was that he felt that Eli was actually honoring his children more than him. You see? And so he said that even though I had said before that you and your family are going to be special, you will walk before me. Look at the verse. It says, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. Can you see? That they were going to be his priest forever. But now saith the Lord, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now what is the reason? The reason is because in verse 29 it says, thou honorest thy sons above me. So God will give you things. God will bless you. God will bless you with jobs, opportunities, and even children. But God never gives you anything that is intended to take his place. Are you getting it? Yeah. There is nothing that God gives you that is supposed to be more important to you than the God who gave it to you. When God gives you a job, God gives you a car, God gives you a beloved. God gives you a husband. God gives you a wife. Whatever it is that God gives you, it is never his intention that that thing be honored more than him. Are you understanding me?
Yeah.
Yes. God intends to be first place in your life, to be number one. God intends to be number one always. And God wants you to honor him. What does it mean to honor someone? To honor someone means to take notice of the person. That is the simplest of the definitions for honor. You know, honor begins with recognizing someone and acknowledging the person. So that, let's say, if someone was to come in to this place, let's say the mayor of Pasadena is to come in, and I say, or I pause in my preaching to say that let's recognize the presence of the mayor of Pasadena, you know, then what I would have done is to honor him. Do you understand? Yes, it's to pay attention to him, to acknowledge his presence, that he came in and he's not like any other person who just came in. You see what I'm saying? But we've taken time to take notice of him, that the person is there. Do you understand? Yes. And if we honor God, it's going to give life to our relationship with God. Because God says, those who honor me, right? Those who honor me, I will honor them. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, if you despise God, then God is not about to promote you. God is not about to make you important when you make him not important at all. Hallelujah. So to honor God is to even notice him. I mean, and to acknowledge him. Even notice his input in your life. Yeah. Many people come into blessings and God is the last person on their minds. They don't even think about God as someone who had anything to do with what has happened to them. But we must learn to live lives that are conscious of God and that take notice of his work and his hand in our lives. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. There are some people who are like that. There are some people who always see the hand of God in their lives. When they have a new job, they know it is the Lord. When they wake up, even in the morning, to be breathing, they know it is the Lord. Yeah. They know it is the Lord. I was reading the other day that I was reading some article. It said most people who die in their sleep die between, I think he said, 3 and 4 a.m. or something like that. And they were saying that you are weakest around that time. You know, and I was just thinking, you know, when you go to bed, that's the time when you are not in control at all. Has it ever occurred to you? Yes. Yes. You're totally not in control. But when we go to bed and wake up, we assume we're entitled to waking up. Even we promise people, listen, tomorrow, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm going to bed. I'm going to sleep for exactly 3 hours. I'll be up. Yes. Last night, I sent a message to someone like that. I told him, I'm going to wake up at this time and I'll call you as soon as I wake up. You know, but when I lay down and I started to think about it. But that's how we are. You find us speaking to the exclusion of God's input in our lives. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. You talk about paying your tithe in church, for example. It is a mind that notices God's input that will even consider paying a tithe. To say that, it is the Lord's, that I see God's input and I see God's involvement in me having a job, me having relevance to that job. Because you see, you can have a job and be there, but you lose relevance at a point. Wow. Yes. Where the business is going, you are not needed. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So to maintain your relevance, it's also God. Are you getting it? It's also God. And to see that this is God, it's the Lord. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. Get into a habit of acknowledging God. That's honoring God. It starts with acknowledging, recognizing his hand and say, this is the Lord. This is the Lord. That you drive your car and you come back home doesn't only depend on your driving skills. No, doesn't depend on your driving skills. Yeah. Someone was giving a testimony and she said, you know, I was driving the other day and some idiot ran a red light. He said, some idiot decided to concentrate on his cell phone instead of paying attention to the red light, and he ran the red light and whatever. You know, whatever they do to that person, you see, that person has changed your life. Yeah. Yeah. His insurance will pay, fix your car, whatever. They may even jail the person, suspend his license, do all sorts of things. But they can't do anything about what they've done to you. Yeah. Even the fear of driving that they have put in you. Are you getting it? Yes? So every time we go and we come back, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. And honoring the Lord is to recognize that, you know, it is the Lord that took me. It is the Lord that brought me back. Yes? If you've driven and felt sleepy before, and then you find yourself sometimes waking up just at the right time. How many know what I'm talking about? You wake up at the right time. Yes. It is the Lord. Why didn't the sleep continue? Or you are that type, you just wake up always at the right time. You have such a sensitivity and a connection to the road. You know, when I'm doing something, I have such a passion and a connection to it that, you know, I just, you know, make all the right moves. And like when I'm on the freeway, I can fall asleep. And when my exit comes up, I just open my eyes. May God deliver you from talking like that. What do you think? Yeah. We must honor God by acknowledging him. And we must not honor any human being or any person more than God. We must not honor our relatives more than God. We must not honor our children more than God. You know, when people have children, I mean, I tell you, it's like they're golden people. Yeah, born in mangers. Do you see? Yeah. And they become the reason for everything. Golden, I mean. Say, I will not be like that. Yes, you must always put God above the children that he has given you. Amen. Always put God above them. God first. You know, you see that the church in America has changed so much because we here in America started to preach another gospel of family first, as though a perfect family means perfect Christianity. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So you see that there's a certain worship of the family. And that's why probably more than any other place, the family unit is so destroyed and so ruined. I mean, we don't even know what father means anymore. Yeah. There are certain places where father doesn't mean anything. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't mean anything. It used to mean something. When they said you are the father of this child or this person, it had so many implications. But now it doesn't have those implications anymore. And that is because we started to put family before God. God is God. God is God. And God cannot be replaced by any human institution, any human arrangement, or anything that he created. Do you understand? God cannot be replaced by anything he created. No. If you cook a dish, it can never be more important than you. What do you think? Yes, because out of you can come many more dishes. So we must honor God. Hallelujah. And the dishonor of God is also shown in how few people often want to give themselves to work for God. Yeah. Few people want to. Most people who have anything good going for them don't want to work for God. It is when people are failing and nothing else is working, then they start to say, oh, you know. I used to know one brother, he would never find a job. He could never find a job. He didn't like to work. You know, there are some people like that. They don't like to work. They don't like anything that engages them for any measured length of time against their wish. That's what we call work. Something that engages you against your wish for a measured period of time. You wouldn't have done it, left to you alone. But you have to get up and do it. Yeah. And there are some people, they can't do such. You have to learn it. Something you have to learn to do. So this brother, he didn't like to work. He just liked to hang around people. He would bounce from one person's house to another, you know, like that. But one of the things he used to say all the time, that as for me, I'm called. I want to work for the Lord. He used to say that all the time. That I'm called. I want to work for the Lord. Yeah. And one time when I asked him why he wasn't married. You see. Now why should you ask such a question? You don't let your mind work like that. Oh, there's something wrong with it. So I asked him, why aren't you married? Then he said to me, because I'm looking for a lady who will work for me. Yes. So ladies, you need to watch out. There's some hunters out there. Especially those of you who work very hard. Yeah. He said he's looking for a lady who work for him. So that he can work for the Lord. Yeah. You see. That's right. And any time he claimed to have found a job, it would just be weeks and he'll be thrown out. And he would come and tell some story and then he'll be thrown out. Just like that. But there are some people like that. And I'm saying that such people would often be the only ones who are saying, I want to work for God. But when you see talented people, gifted people, educated people, they all start to move away from working for God. I say, I'm too educated, too clever, too intelligent. I went to MIT. How can I work for God? No. I cannot work for God at all. Which one, the topic or the place? Both. You have a lot of enemies in this. Have good grades, sharp intellect, a high IQ, They all want to work for some bank, want to work. I mean, when you even think about what to do with life, you know, they often would say, you know, as for me, I want to give to the Lord's work. Yeah. I want to give to the Lord's work. Yeah. I'm going to work. I'm going to do this business. You know, yeah. I believe. And then I want to support healing Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. But I have come to find out that the work of God actually needs intelligent people. Yeah, that's why when God is anointing people and choosing people for his work, he gives them a spirit of wisdom, counsel, and might, and the fear of the Lord, and makes them of quick understanding. Yeah. If intelligence was not useful to God, anointed people won't be intelligent. But rather, the spirit of God on a person, because God wants to use the person, he makes him of quick understanding, intelligent. Yes. So if you think you are intelligent and smart, I want to recommend that you consider highly working for the Lord. Amen? Yeah, working for the Lord. Be a pastor. Give yourself to the Lord. Pray that God, you would even be blessed that God will choose you and want to use you. Yeah. That God will choose you and want to use you. It will be your greatest honor that God will choose you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So pray rather that God will choose you and not rather despise the work of God. And we despise God by not making ourselves available for his work. Despise God by looking at the church and looking down on the church. Even the offerings people give in church. Yeah. Think about it. That both in terms of what the person gave and the actual note that they put even in the offering. When people are, you can ask treasurers when they are counting offering. The stinkiest of notes. The ripped ones. You know, notes that can barely be identified. You can't even tell whether it's 10 or 20. You keep the good money for yourself to go and they did that in the Bible sometimes. Some people were going to offer sacrifice to the Lord and they would bring a blind goat. Yeah, and a goat that is coughing. Chicken that's limping. Yeah. And people feel that when it comes to God, that's what he deserves. God understands. Let's give God anything. But when we want something from God, we want the best. Yeah. My mother once told me a story. She said she was really broke one day and she was walking and she said, "Lord, why don't I just find 500, you know, it was Ghana cedis." She said, "Why don't I just find 500 cedis on the floor?" She said, just a short time after she said the prayer, she saw 5 cedis on the floor. So she picked it up and she told the Lord, "But I said 500. Why?" "I said 500. Why do you make it 5? How many understand that we have dishonored God often? Yes. And he says that those who honor me, where is the verse? He says, "Be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." I think that's a polite way of saying they will not be. What do you think? Yeah. That's a polite way of saying that those people will also not be esteemed at all. Hallelujah. Make it your dream to do something for God. If God decides not to choose you for his work, that's fine. But let it be your aim and your vision that I want to work for God. Are you getting what I'm saying? And work for God when you are young, not when after you have retired and, you know, even the UN of all places, even the UN has retired you. You can imagine. The UN is supposed to be the most generous and liberal and nicest organization. And even they say, look, it's enough. Work for God while you're sharp. While you can crunch numbers, wake up from bed and you can actually tell us the square root of 374.7. Some people can do that, Pastor Munene. And all the people in his center. His whole house is like that. They have math equations on their tablecloth. Hallelujah. Are you going to honor God? Eli discovered the hard way that God would not have someone honor his children above him. Do you see? And we must not put ourselves in that place also. Amen. Just one more. Number two, honor Jesus and it will give life to your relationship with him. Honor Jesus and it will give life to your relationship with him. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40 says, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Hallelujah. That's Matthew 10 and verse 40. Right? So now under that one, if you honor a man who is sent by Jesus, you are honoring Jesus. Isn't it? According to this verse, if you honor a man who is sent by Jesus, you are honoring Jesus. That also means if you despise a man who is sent by Jesus, you are despising Jesus. What do you think? Yes. Look at another verse. Luke chapter 10 and verse 16. Luke chapter 10 and verse 16. It's just a similar verse as the one we just read. He says, he that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. So you see some seemingly blunt reactions actually have very serious implications. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. So many people despise God by despising people that are sent by God. Do you see? Yeah. And to me, that means you must be careful around people who claim to be men of God. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yeah. If the person claims to be a man of God, whether you agree or not, just watch out because you don't know which one is which. Are you getting it? You don't know which one is which. You don't know which one is real. So just leave them alone. Amen. Amen. Just leave them alone. Sometimes people make mockery of preachers. People laugh at pastors. People call them all sorts of names, thieves. You know, this guy called Saul. Well, let me just, because there's just 3 points here that I should just give you. Number two, if you honor Christians, you are honoring Jesus. If you honor Christians, you are honoring Jesus. Matthew 25 and verse 40 says, inasmuch as ye have not ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren. Ye have done it unto me. Can you see that? Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Good or bad? Question here is, what did you do? Do you get it? Because whatever you did it unto him. So if what you did was to help them, you gave them a ride. I know some of you gave people a ride to church this morning. You just gave Jesus a ride. Yeah, don't be surprised if one day Jesus shows up and says, thank you for that ride. And you will ask, when did I see you and give you a ride? Because if you had known, you would have added a Coca-Cola or something. Because you feel if you had known it was Jesus, you would have made the ride much better. Yeah, instead of dropping him off at the junction, you would have gone into the alley and tried to force with a U-turn. But because you thought it wasn't Jesus, it was just someone, you felt, listen, I've brought you to the junction or even to the neighborhood, it's enough. Walk the rest. Right? The king shall answer and say to them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Ye have done it unto me. You do it unto him when you do it unto one of his brethren. Yes. So if you laugh at Christians and mock them, and trick them and tempt them. See, the brother is fasting and then you bring a pizza and you want to eat it in front of him. Because you want to prove to everyone that his fast is a fake one. Can you see that? Then the third one is that if you honor Jews, you are honoring Jesus. Yes. Yes. Because he talked about his brethren. Isn't it? Yeah. I believe that one of the reasons why America is blessed is just their alignment with Israel. Yeah. America seems to support Israel in everything. They have a permanent stance. Yeah, that's our brother. And that comes from the foundations of this country. Because we came to meet people who were aligned a certain way. Even though now we have a lot of rebels who want to get into power and who want to change that. You get it? But I believe that the day that thing goes away, this country will be a different country. So let's pray that it stays. But let me close with this one verse about someone who was surprised who he was dealing with. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and from verse 3. Okay, let's read from verse 2. Verse 2. It says, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Do you see? And went unto the high priest. He went unto the high priest. And then, verse 2, he desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Now this guy, this man called Saul, you know, some people are so zealous, they can take things upon themselves. Yeah. Yes. You know, last night I saw a clip. Somebody had taken time to take a video clip of a woman preaching and raising funds in, I think, her church. Do you see? And another pastor preaching somewhere against raising of funds, or I don't know, whatever pastor was preaching. And the woman had No, this person had taken the video, and when the woman would speak and say something, then he would edit what the woman was saying and then continue with something this pastor was saying. Do you get it? Now, I know, because when Joel does these videos and things for us, I work with him on it. I know how long it takes. You know, when you watch a clip that lasts, the last one lasted how long? The last one we watched on how long was that? Last week, International Day, was like 10 minutes. Do you see? 10 minutes. He stayed up from the evening till the morning to get that 10-minute thing done. Yeah. 10 minutes. So when you watch a movie and it's like an hour and a half, you shouldn't finish and say, oh, why is it so short? Yeah. 10 minutes of that. So as I watched this thing, I was just thinking, who is this person who has so much time? Do you get it? And takes it upon himself to take somebody's preaching and analyze the preaching and chop off this piece. You know, have they finished going on outreach? This person, this Christian person who has made it their business to do that, did they show up at the last outreach? But there are some people who are zealous like that. So this is Saul. Nobody has sent him. He gets up on himself. He goes to the high priest. He says, can I have letters? Please. They tell him, you have to come back next week and see the boss himself. No problem. Then next week, he goes there again. And they say the boss is in the meeting and he's waiting. He just wants letters and permission so he can go to Damascus. And if he found any Christians, he was going to bring them bound. He was going to bind the Christians and throw them in jail. He's made it his personal fight. No, you have to be careful. Look at the next verse. So verse 4. Well, starts from verse 3. In verse 3, it says, as he journeyed, there suddenly shined round about him a light from heaven. Do you see? So as you are moving around and talking and doing your things, the heaven is watching. Can you see that? A light from heaven. And then verse 4. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And verse 5, he asked, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Since you think you are throwing Christians into jail and doing all that, but you are doing it against me. Can you see that? You are doing it against me. So as Saul was doing this work, he thought that he was trying to filter and purify, you know, the faith and purify the Christianity and make sure that God is served properly in synagogues and in places. And he didn't know that in trying to work for it, he was actually working against it. Jesus himself told us one day, some people said that someone had planted good seed. And when he went to bed, an enemy came and sowed bad seed. And so they could see that the tares were growing and the tares were probably even becoming more than the good seed. You know, so they asked the master, can we just go and remove the tares? Let's remove them. The master said, no, don't remove them. Just leave them. Leave them. Leave the good and the bad together. Do you see? And it says, at harvest time, we will take out the bad first. But if we do it now, we will spoil some of the good in the name of pursuing the bad. Wow. Can you understand that? Yeah. This is the verse. He says, but he said, nay, lest while we gather up the tares, ye root also the wheat with them. So God doesn't want to lose the wheat. And even if the wheat make up 10% of the total thing, just for the small wheat, do you understand? It's better to leave the 90% tares alone. Does it make sense? Yeah. Otherwise, your fight against the 90% tares will make you destroy the 10% wheat. Are you following what I'm saying? God will judge. Look at the next verse, verse 30. He says in verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather together first the tares. So God himself knows when he's going to go after the tares. And he says he's going to go after them first. But that's at harvest time. And bind them in bundles to burn them. So God has a time reserved. He's going to deal with all those people. It's not your job to root out false prophets. Your job is to gather souls for the kingdom. That's your job. That's your job. Your job is to look for unbelievers and preach Christ to them. That's your job. Your job is not to find false prophets. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's not your job. Your job is not to take time and make clippings. Why don't you take time and make some clips that get people saved? We need more clips that announce that Jesus is Lord. We need more clips that announce that hell is real. That's what we need. We don't need more people making mockery of preachers and pastors and people who serve God and turning more and more people, increasing people's faith in the deception in the church and increasing or decreasing people's faith in the gospel and in serving the Lord. I mean, can you imagine how much damage you're doing to the faith and to the church? And to the faith of little ones. Young Christians who are just now coming up. Who don't understand all these things. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell somebody that's not your job. Hallelujah. Yeah. Even if you're doing the job, you're doing it too early. Jesus said in the time of the harvest. He will say to the reapers, gather together the tares first. So yes, there are tares. There are tares. And in every and field human thing that is done, there are tares. Isn't it? There are tares among doctors. There are tares among lawyers. There are tares among everything. There are tares. Isn't it? Yes. But if we wipe out all doctors now, we're going to have a problem. So we should leave the fake and the things to combine together. Do you understand? Yes. Anyway, I think we'll continue this next Sunday. Hallelujah. So make sure you're in church next Sunday and come with somebody. Amen. And I believe God's going to bless us. Stand to your feet and... Hallelujah. Those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. They will never be honored. Hallelujah. Right? I want you to pray and ask God to forgive you for anything you have said or done that has the effect of bringing dishonor to him. Just ask God to forgive you. Say, Lord, please forgive me for any act, action, or inaction that amounts to dishonor. Any way that I have dishonored you, Lord, please forgive me. And tell the Lord, I want to bring honor to you. I want to bring honor to you. Yes. I want to bring honor to you. I want my life to bring honor to you. Yes. Jesus. I want to bring honor to you, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive my proclamations and my sayings and all the things that I have done or not done Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Pray, just confess your sins to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't know what I was doing. I was ignorant. Yes. So forgive me, Lord. Your healing power Breathe life and make me whole, and let the peace of God, let it rain, and let the life of God fill me, fill me, fill me now. Let your healing power breathe life and make me whole, and let the peace of God, let it rain. Thank you, Jesus. Now, as we bring the service to a close today, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here this afternoon and you know in your heart that you're not saved, you know in your heart that you're not born again, that when we say born again, you don't understand it. You know in your heart that your sins are not forgiven. You don't have a certain confidence in your heart that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven. It is my job to give you an opportunity. I want to give you that opportunity today before we close from this place. Before you step out of this room, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. God has given us life. What He didn't tell us is how much of it is left. And I want to give you that opportunity. Take advantage of the chance you have today, because you don't know how much more time you have to give your life to Jesus. So if you're here this afternoon, or if you're watching us online, or listening to the podcast, wherever you are, if you're hearing me right now, I want to give you that opportunity, and I hope you don't turn it down. I want you to give your life to Jesus by asking or raising up your right hand, and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here today who wants to give your life to Jesus? I want to pray with you. Raise up your right hand if you're here, and we'll pray together. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want your sins to be forgiven. You want to be a child of God. You want to be sure that when you die, you go to heaven. I want you to raise up your right hand. Is there anybody here like that? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Right. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Let's say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that I am not good enough on my own for heaven. Because all my righteous deeds are as filthy rags before you. So I come to you, Jesus. Let your blood wash me. Because you died for my sins. You shed your blood for me. So Lord Jesus, please let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me and make me a child of God. Say, I want to live for you, Jesus. I want to serve you, Jesus. I want to be a true child of God. I want my life to honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for that. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? How many have learned something today? How many got something specific out of the service? You got something for you. Raise up your hand. Let me see. Okay. How many got something for another person? Raise up your hand. Yeah. No, for you and another person also. All right. All right. God bless you. Amen. Let's have communion quickly before we go. Bring the communion round. Bring the communion and bring it round. Hallelujah. our lives have just begun. In the Spirit, we are young, and we'll live forever. Sons of God, hear His holy word. Gather around the table of the Lord. Eat His body, drink His blood, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shout, shout together to the Lord, who has promised our reward, happiness a hundredfold, and we'll live forever. Sons of God, hear His holy word. Gather round the table of the Lord. Eat His body, drink His blood, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shout together to sons of God, oh, hear His holy word. Gather round a table of the Lord. Eat His body, drink His blood, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Hallelujah. Communion is fellowship. That's why it's called communion. It's interaction, intermingling with Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. So communion has life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Communion gives life. It gives life. Life. It gives spiritual power for overcoming sin. It gives life. Life in Christ. It sustains us. It makes us go for a long time in Jesus. Hallelujah. And as you have communion today, I want you to believe that God is giving you life. Amen. Any area of life where you are weak, you will receive strength. Amen. Because it says, unless you drink this, you have no life. So if you've drunk it, what does it mean? Life has come. Hallelujah. So take your communion and let's pray. Father, we thank you for the bread and the wine. We pray and thank you for the life that they contain. Because this is the body of Jesus Christ. This is bread indeed. and this is meat indeed. This is life indeed. This is life coming into us, Lord. We pray for your blessing and transformation in the name of Jesus. As we drink and eat, as we partake of this meal, Lord, let every weakness be replaced with strength. Let every area where we are not doing well begin to show forth as an area of excellence for us in the name of Jesus. Let every valley and every depression in our lives be exalted in the name of Jesus. Lift up any low place that has plagued us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And bless us to serve you and to serve you well in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your blessing. And everybody says amen. Amen. Now I want you to take your bread and say with me, the body of Jesus Christ. Say it again. Say the body of Jesus Christ. You may eat the bread. Take your wine. Say the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. You may drink. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from every sin. It will cleanse us from every mistake. It will cleanse us from the effect of missteps. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands for a blessing. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We declare a blessing and speak a blessing over all your people in the name of Jesus. From every place where we have come from today, Lord, we leave this place with a blessing, with the hand of God upon our lives in the name of Jesus. Anyone who has been earmarked for sudden and premature death, in the name of Jesus, we cancel it, Lord. We speak forth the word of God to the source of evil in our lives, and we address that fountain and we command it to dry out in the name of Jesus. Anything in our lives that is a constant source of sin and aggravation in the spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we speak to it also and we command it to dry out in the name of Jesus. We speak to diseases and sicknesses that are attempting to attack our bodies, to break us down in the name of Jesus. We command the sicknesses, tumors that we are not even aware of, Lord, we command them to die at their roots in the name of Jesus. Anything that is arising out of our background, anything that is arising out of the environment we grew up in, Lord, anything that comes from our past and from our background that wants to interfere with the life we are living now, we speak to it also to lose its influence in the name of Jesus. We apply the blood of Jesus to our lives. We apply the blood of Jesus to our lives. May the blood of Jesus answer every claim to our lives. Every claim to our lives, Lord, prematurely, let the blood of Jesus speak for us. Anything that speaks condemnation to our minds, anything that continues to condemn us every time we come into the presence of God, we ask, Lord, that the blood of Jesus will atone for us and speak on our behalf in the name of Jesus. May the enemy not have access to us. In the name of Jesus. This week, we will walk only in blessed places. We will go only to blessed places. this week the Lord's covering will be upon every one of us in the name of Jesus. At work, at school, at home, may his covering and banner be over us in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that it will be a week of good news. We will hear good news. Good news from afar, oh God. Let it be our portion in the name of Jesus. Prayers we have prayed in the past that are yet to be answered, let this week be a week of answers. Let it be a week of answers. Answers to prayers we have even long forgotten about. Lord, may you arise and surprise us in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We pray, oh God, for financial breakthroughs for your people. Those who need cars. Those who are looking for new apartments. In the name of Jesus. We pray for favor and an open door for them in the name of Jesus. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Lord, we pray for people in relationships, failing relationships, Lord. We pray for your help, your mercy, and your blessing also towards them in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell somebody this week his banner over you is love and protection. Hallelujah.